there was a man named Aesop. That's a groovy name. Aesop. Many years ago, this man named Aesop. Tell us what he did, Dickie Smothers, please. Aesop. He told the people little fables in an entertaining way. And each little fable taught them something that still makes a lot of sense today. Aesop, 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 old and great fable, 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 old and great story, 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 told a great tale. He had a way of telling brother
how we should all be treating each other.
Aesop,
yeah, yeah,
told a great tale. He told people stories that had a moral.
That Aesop, he was no fool. Shooby-dooby, scooby-dooby.
Aesop knew that the world would be
a better place for you and me
if we all live by the golden rule
and do unto others.
Aesop,
Aesop, Aesop,
still is worth hearing,
hearing, hearing.
He can still teach us,
teach us, teach us
a lesson or two. Yes, like we said, we still are able
to learn a lot from Aesop's fables.
Listen,
yeah, yeah,
we'll tell them to you, you, you.
Aesop's fables.
This fable tells of how people who are greedy and want too much sometimes lose what they have and need.
That's true, Dickie. That's very true, Dickie Smothers.
Thank you, Tom. It concerns a dog which had found a very delicious piece of meat and was carrying it home in his mouth.
Dogs are wont to do that a lot.
Well, as chance would have it, this dog had to cross a quiet little stream to get to his house.
A doghouse.
And as you know...
Was it a doghouse, Dickie?
I don't know what kind of house it was.
It'd probably be a dog.
Aesop, see, Tom, this is Aesop's fable, and he doesn't tell you what kind of house the dog lived in.
That's too bad. He probably would want to live in a doghouse.
Well, let's just say he did live in a doghouse. He was very happy.
Okay.
As you know, water is when it's smooth and quiet, it's like a mirror.
That's right. It's like a looking glass. And this doggy could see his reflection as he passed over the bridge in this little pool of crystal clear water. And the water was under the bridge, and the dog was on the bridge. And when he looked down, he could see his reflection with the meat in his mouth.
Did you just think of that?
Yeah, I made that up.
You did, huh? I just told them that. They already know it.
Oh, I'm just reviewing a little bit.
Well, anyway, this is what happened to the greedy dog as he crossed the bridge.
A greedy dog who had found some meat was crossing a bridge to go home and eat it. While crossing the pool, his reflection he saw.
And he thought it was another dog with meat in his jaw.
Oh, yeah.
And he snapped at the other dog, which really was he.
Oh, no.
That shows how foolish our stupid, greedy dog can be, for the meat that he have fell and sank right out of reach.
And this little story a lesson should teach. Don't be greedy, or you may lose what you have and need. Don't be greedy, or you may lose all through your greed.
Yes, sir.
You may lose all through your greed.
That's right, boy.
You may lose all through your greed.
Yeah, Tom, and that's a good thing to remember.
Animals are lots of fun. I wish that I could be one. If I could be an animal, I think I'd be a fox. Maybe I better stay me.
Aesop told a fable to illustrate the fact that nobody likes a liar, And when you lie, even once, people find it hard ever to trust you again. And that when you lie, you really hurt yourself.
That's right.
Now, back in Aesop's time, people had to make a lot of things for themselves, things that we could just walk down to the store and buy. And they had to make their own clothing. In fact, they had to make the cloth itself. And to get the wool for the cloth, they used to raise their own sheep. Now, other people who owned sheep would put them all together in one big flock and just hire one man or a boy to watch the sheep and protect them from the wolf. So Aesop told this fable about a boy who was hired to watch the sheep, which can be pretty dull work because all they had to do was sit around and watch for the wolf. And if the wolf ever approached, they were supposed to call out.
That's all you had to do, just to call out?
That's right.
Just out?
Well, of course.
I mean, how would the wolf even know the boy was talking to him? Shouldn't he at least say, "Out, wolf! Get away from that sheep, wolf!"
Oh, no, Tommy. He called out to the villagers.
Oh. "Out, villagers! Get away from that wolf!"
No, he didn't tell the villagers to get away from the wolf.
Well, someone should have, because wolves can be pretty vicious.
I know, but he...
You know, they bite and they howl. Wolves can be worse than pumas.
Tom, you're getting it all mixed up. Now, the boy kept his eye on the sheep.
Sounds to me like he should have kept his eye on that wolf.
Well, that's right. He should have. And the boy knew that all the people in the village would come running to help him if he spotted the wolf. So one day, when he got real bored, even though there was no wolf in sight, he called Wolf.
"Wolf! Wolf! Oh, Wolf! Here, Wolfie! Here, Wolfie!"
Tommy.
Oh!
Hey, why are you doing that? What are you doing that for?
I was just trying to show them how the boy cried to the wolf.
But the boy didn't cry to the wolf. He cried to the villagers.
He sounds like a crybaby to me.
Tom, you don't understand. The boy got tired of sitting around watching the sheep, so he called Wolf, even though there wasn't any wolf around. He just wanted some excitement.
Well, if that's his idea of excitement, to sit around yelling wolf,
he could go to a dance or something. But he called to the villagers. He called Wolf, and they came running.
Well, if that's their idea of excitement, running every time some kid that doesn't have a dance to go to just because you're calling Wolf all the time.
Just let me tell the story. One day, the boy who was supposed to watch the sheep and protect them from the wolf got bored. And even though there was no wolf in sight, called out Wolf. And of course, all the villagers came running to help him to protect the sheep from the wolf.
Oh.
And the villagers, seeing no wolf, said, "Where's the wolf?" And the little boy said, "There is no wolf. I just wanted to see how fast you could get here." Hey, Tommy, why are you doing that again?
I was just trying to add a little note of realism. You know, the wolf was...
But there was no wolf. The boy lied.
No.
Yes.
He didn't.
Yes, he did. And he did it again a little later.
And there was no wolf?
Not those times. But pretty soon, the wolf really did show up. And the boy cried.
Wolf!
And the villagers, remembering how the boy had tricked them before, said,
"Ah, oh, that nutty kid is putting us on again."
Meantime, the wolf stole all the sheep. And the villagers, when they realized what had happened, said,
Well, it looks like we had a couple sheep here.
Hey, that's not what they said, Tom, and you know it. You don't realize what it meant to those people. This was a real tragedy caused by lying. And Aesop told the story to illustrate a very important point, that just one little lie could cause a lot of damage to a lot of people.
Wow.
And in this particular case, the wolf got all the sheep away from the boy.
Oh.
And all the villagers said,
"Boy, we're never going to trust that boy again, boy."
And the shepherd boy really learned this lesson.
Yeah, and he learned this lesson. The villagers all burst in spontaneous song that went like this.
If you lie, people find out. And even when you're not lying, people still doubt you. If you lie, you'll find this is true.
The one you hurt most is really you, because
nobody likes a liar.
Take it. They cause pain and bad things. They're terrible.
Nobody likes a liar. So we'll tell you once again. If you lie, people find out. And even when you're not lying, people still doubt you. If you lie, you'll find this is true. The one you hurt most is really you.
That's a good thing to remember.
Even if you're not a wolf. It might be fun to be a bug, much too small to spy. If I were a bug, I'd like to be a teensy weensy fly. Maybe I'd better stay me.
A thief tried to break into a house one night to rob the owner, but he was prevented from doing so by a watchdog that barked very, very loudly.
Bark, bark, bark!
I assume that's your betrayal of a watchdog?
Yeah, that's my betrayal of a watchdog. Bark, 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 bark! Of course, you know, if he was, it would make a big difference if he was inside the house or outside
the
house.
What do you mean, inside or outside?
Well, if he was inside, he would sound bark, bark.
Oh, I see. He'd be quieter, muffled.
Yeah, but if he was outside at the time, he would sound bark, bark, bark. That's a lot more frightening.
Tom, you haven't let me get to the point of the story. You see, the thief, realizing he could not rob the owner of the house unless he could quiet down the watchdog, offered the dog a great big juicy steak.
Yes.
He would quiet down. You see, he wanted to get the dog busy eating the steak so he would quit barking. But the dog wouldn't eat the steak.
Not at all?
Not at all.
Wow. You mean not even a bite?
Not even one little bite. He just kept right on barking.
Well, that's the way a lot of dogs are.
What?
All bark and no bite.
Oh.
That's a little thing I threw
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I wish you'd throw it out.
Okay.
Tom, the whole idea of the story is that the dog refused to betray his master. He wouldn't fall for the trap and spend his time eating the steak while the thief went around the house robbing his master.
That's a good dog.
You're right. In fact, the dog said to the thief, he said...
Did the dog talk?
Well, you see, this is a fable, Tommy, and in fables, all the animals talk.
Wow, what a watchdog. He could not only scare the thief away, he could go downtown with the police and look at the mugshots and say, "That's him, officer, bark, bark. That's the crook who tried to rob my master's house. He tried to bribe me with a steak as I made my appointed rounds. Tried to bribe me with a steak. Me, man's best friend."
Now, wait a minute, Ty.
If I had taken that steak after he had robbed my master, he probably would have come back and taken that steak away.
That's the whole point of the story, Tommy.
Indian giver, that's what he is.
The dog knew if the thief couldn't be trusted not to rob his master, he couldn't be trusted at all.
That's right.
After he had robbed his master, he'd probably come back and rob the dog who helped him.
Sounds like a pretty busy crook to me.
You're right. The point of the fable is this.
Honesty is the best policy. Be honest in all you do. Tell the truth and treat people fairly, and they'll do the same for you.
Everybody now!
Honesty is the best policy. Be honest in all you do. Tell the truth and treat people fairly, and they'll do the same for you.
Everybody bark.
Honesty is the best policy. Be honest in all you do. Tell the truth and treat people fairly, and they'll do the same for you.
Doesn't hurt to have a good watchdog, too, especially when it talks. Hi there, I'm a talking dog. I bark, too, occasionally. Bark, bark, woof, woof. Except when I'm inside, you know, I sound grook, 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 grook. And I don't eat steaks either, because I'm a talking dog. Tommy the talking dog. It might be fun to be a worm and tunnel in the ground and only come up to the top of the ground when no one is around. Oops, maybe I better... Once upon a time, there was an old farmer, and he had several sons. And they were a quarrelsome bunch, because they are always fighting. Fight, fight, fight. And they're always bickering. Bicker, bicker, bicker. And their father, the old farmer, was sad and sore afraid, for he knew... He knew that brothers needed each other and should be helping each other.
That's right. So one day he called his sons together.
And right away they started to bicker. Bicker, bicker, bicker.
And the father said to his sons.
Bicker, bicker, bicker.
Hold it.
Fight,
hold
fight,
it.
Fight.
Hold it.
Bicker.
Tom, you're acting just like one of those brothers. You're working against me instead of with me. I think you need to know what the father did more than anybody. Now, do you know what the father did?
Yeah, I said before, he's a farmer.
I don't mean what he did for a living. I mean, do you know what he did to teach his sons to stop fighting among themselves?
No.
Well, he got a bunch of thin little sticks and tied them in a bundle with some twine. And then he handed them to his sons and said, "Here, break these sticks," all at the same time.
Ha ha.
And they tried. They each tried, and they tried very, very hard. And even though the sticks were very thin, they couldn't break them when they were tied in a bundle together.
Ho ho.
And then the father untied the bundle and gave each brother just one of the sticks and said, "Now break them." And of course, since each brother had only one thin little stick, it was easy, and they broke them all. Now, what does this show us?
If you stick together, you make a bundle.
Oh, don't be facetious. Now, the meaning of this fable can be expressed in several ways, Tommy. Aesop said it this way: a house divided against itself cannot stand. And way back when our country was very young and the 13 colonies or states were quarreling among themselves...
Bicker!
That's right. They were acting just like brothers. They were fighting among themselves. And one of our great statesmen, Ben Franklin, said, "United we stand, divided we fall." And the people took his advice, and they worked together.
It's a good thing that they did, or we wouldn't have such a strong country.
You're absolutely right.
The United Sticks of America.
Oh.
I made that up.
Yeah, I believe it. You know what? There's another thing, too. You could say, in unity, there's strength.
Or you might say, if a task is once begun, never leave it till it's done. Be the labor great or small, do it well or don't do it at all.
That's close, but that has nothing to do with the farmer and his sons.
Yeah, but it's a good thing to remember.
Well, of course it's a good thing to remember, but it's still not in the...
Yeah, but I just wanted to show you my display of extensive knowledge of poetry.
Oh, that's one thing about you, Tommy. You know, you have humility. In spite of all your great and glorious gifts, you have humility.
Yeah, well, it's better to have gifts than receipts.
Don't you mean it's better to give than receive?
No, I meant what I said. It's better to have gifts than receipts.
Well, that's enough of your philosophy. I think we'd better get back to our fable about the farmer and his sons. Tommy, shall we sing the song about the sticks?
You mean, shall we stick to our song?
Oh, boy.
One stick at a time is so easy to break, but many sticks in a bundle, much more strength to take. So it is with people. You may be weak alone, but when you have friends and loved ones, it's surprising how strong you've grown.
That's well worth remembering.
Yeah, even if you're not a stick.
Hey, wait a minute. What do you mean, even if you're not a stick? Why do you always say
that? Well, I want them to remember.
But they're not sticks.
Well, you're always correcting
me.
I'm
not always
you
correcting
are,
you.
You are, too. You're always bickering with me. You come up and you say, "Hey, Tommy, good morning." Bicker.
Oh, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard
you
in my life.
You're always
I'm trying to find
you never
out.
Right.
I want you,
you
to
don't
do
like me.
Correct.